The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife. And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you may be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell to make sure you guys are always getting your new Going In Raw content. And, of course, we're available wherever fine podcasts are, every podcast app in the world. If it's worth its weight in salt. If it's worth its salt. What is the phrase with salt in it? If it's worth its salt?
I think that one.
Yeah, anyways, you can find Going In Raw there if it's any good. Be sure to hit the subscribe button there as well. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 50 people watching the live stream of this NXT 205 live recap. And they're all $5 and up patrons. At that level, you get 3 live streams every week where before the show, we chit-chat about all sorts of crap, pop culture, food, working out, all sorts of things. And then after the show, we also we chit-chat as well, so you can hang out with us and ask us questions and et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
We're also available at the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where we have 11 designs and more to come.
Yeah.
Programming note, we're going to be doing a live reaction, or reaction live stream, rather, to Battleground.
Yeah.
This Sunday, probably around 4:30, around the pre-show, whenever, yeah, like, the first pre-show match starts is usually when we're on. So be sure to check that out as well. It should be a lot of fun. But now we're going to talk about NXT and 205 Live, Larson.
What a great week of WWE Network wrestling programming.
Yeah, 205 Live, holy cow.
My only qualm about that show is that the main event and the first match I feel like should have been flipped.
Oh, for sure. The 2 out of 3 falls match should have been the main event. But what a terrific match that was. It actually kicked off 205 Live. NXT was really, really good as well. They had three fantastic
matches.
They
did a really good job of you know, like, condensing the story between Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali in this video package that kicked off the show. It was so well done, I thought the show actually had a new intro.
Oh, yeah.
It was, because it was so well edited, so well put together, they put some graphics involved in it, too. I was like, oh, man, they got a new intro for the show. This is cool.
Yeah.
But it was just a really done, really well done video package.
Yeah. That's how the show kicked off. We got straight into the 2 out of 3 falls match. Your opening match, and I wonder if it had something to do with SmackDown being, like, less than great, being a tad underwhelming, that the crowd was more, I don't know, apt to, because there's, like, a lot of talking in on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the crowd was, like just ready for a really, because this match was better than anything that was on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, both the Tozawa Daivari match and this match was better than anything.
No, I agree with that as well. I wonder if, I mean, look, I think this match should have been able to wake up any dead crowd.
Yeah.
But the crowd by the end were really into it.
Yeah.
When Drew Gulak got up on that second or third, I think he was like very nervously getting to the top.
Yeah.
And then he was like having his internal conflict.
Yeah.
And he was acting it, he was performing it perfectly.
Yeah.
The crowd was really, really eating up that moment.
I really like how Gulak, when he's up there on the top rope, his legs will shake.
I know.
And doesn't look over the top at all.
No, it doesn't. It looks so natural. Like, he really is in this character of his. It's fantastic. Mustafa Ali got the first fall, with a roll-up. Then he ended up tapping out to a dragon sleeper. So
tied 1-1.
Mustafa Ali went for a Frankensteiner. Gulak reversed that into a powerbomb.
That was a rough-looking powerbomb.
Yeah, it was. This was, wow. Mustafa Ali hit an inverted Hunan Rana on Drew Gulak. It looked like...
Spiked his head right to the
mat. It looked like Gulak just had it. Yeah. Got his head spiked on the mat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It looked... Boy, that looked right. There's GIFs on it. Or GIFs. I don't know. We got a lot of shit for our pronunciation of the term. I thought it was decided that it was GIF. I thought the dude who invented it said it was GIF.
Yeah,
isn't that the end? Look, if I draw a character on a piece of paper and say, this guy's name is, you know, butt shit.
Yeah.
And then you go and say, hey, who's that? You know, ass shit. Well, no, man. I named him. It's butt shit, not ass shit. You don't get to say who it is, even if it makes more sense.
No, I know.
You know?
But I don't know.
I mean, I actually prefer the term GIF. That's how I said it for a very long time.
Yeah, the only reason I changed is because I heard that the guy who invented
GIFs
or GIFs said they should be pronounced GIF.
And they're so delightful. Like, why would I want to go against the guy who made them?
I know.
You know. So
we'll
I don't know.
We'll do more research into this.
There's a GIF on it out there. Now it sounds weird to say GIF.
I know.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like change. Anyways,
Gulak makes his way to the outside, and then Mustafa Ali does this awesome top rope.
Oh my god!
Senton right
on. Yeah, it's scary. It's just some of the things Mustafa Ali does are simply scary. He's gone to the outside on Drew Gulak so many times during this feud, and it freaks the crap out of me. But it always looks amazing.
I know.
Because, like, God, man. I mean, Mustafa Ali, number one, he seems like he's having the most fun out there, A. And B, he seems to be the most fearless guy on the roster.
Yeah.
I could kind of, like, that resonates with me thinking about it right now. And so he is obviously the perfect opponent for this Drew Gulak character.
Mm-hmm.
So when he does that, then Drew Gulak gets the upper hand. He has Mustafa Ali down prone on the ground. And he starts going to the top, and he's, like, so nervous about it. And he's conflicted, and he knows that this is what he's been campaigning against, and this to him would be an indiscretion.
But yet he also at the same time thinks, okay, if I do this, I'll win the match.
He'll win the match! He knows that! And he's looking to the crowd to see their reaction. He's really milking this. He's really playing to the crowd, and they're eating it up.
Yeah.
By the end of this match, I wanted him. I was rooting for Drew Gulak. I wanted him to see the light with the high flying maneuvers. I bought into this character, and I wanted to see him see the light.
Yeah.
And I think everybody—that was the point. Everybody else did too.
Yeah.
But then he went down to the ground. Mustafa Ali at that point had recovered, took advantage, went up, hit a inverted 450.
No. Well, first he hits a top rope Frankensteiner.
Okay, yeah.
While Gulak's still up there in the top rope.
Okay, yeah.
And then after that,
that's right.
Inverted 450, hits the pin, wins 2-1.
Yeah. I was bummed out. By the end, I wanted Drew Gulak to win this thing. I really did. But I really hope this isn't the blow off. I think there's still ways.
Yeah.
I think there's still, you know,
and
story.
And no other reason than Gulak's shirt is fantastic.
Oh, I know. I want to get it.
I know.
I actually want to get that shirt.
Very good.
It is really good. This has been a fantastic feud.
Yeah.
Speaking of fantastic feuds, we had Akira Tozawa and Apollo Crews backstage. Apollo Crews is having sort of a heart-to-heart with Akira Tozawa. He's sort of defending Titus O'Neil, saying, you know, he's looking out for your best interest.
Yeah.
Here's an example when I took on Braun Strowman. But in the end, he stood up for me, and he was ready to put his own body on the line, and that's what he'll do for you. And I forget what Akira Tozawa's point was here.
He brought it back to taking on Daivari.
Okay, yeah.
And I think Cruz is like, okay,
cool. Yeah.
Have this match, but be careful, essentially.
That was really interesting. We'll get to that in a second. We continued on with the Brian Kendrick, Jack Gallagher feud, but this time Brian Kendrick was berating Devin Bennett, a competitor, I guess, from Manchester, same area that Jack Gallagher is from. And Kendrick was saying, you know, he's no more than a caricature, a cartoon, something like that, right?
That's been kind of his thing.
Yeah. So he was just telling the same thing to Devin Bennett.
They had a match. It wasn't much of a match. Kendrick won with Captain's Hook.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Then we got a TJP interview. Did I miss this? I forgot this actually happened. We're going to have a tag match next week? What's going on with this?
Perkins was talking about the match last week that Swan had with, what was the dude's name?
Oh, man. I forget, but I have him in
But then, you know, Perkins had a match against the same wrestler, one quicker, And Perkins said he admitted that wasn't the best test of their skills.
Yeah.
So next week, tag match, Rich Swann, partner of his choosing, against TJP, partner of his choosing.
Okay.
TJP was more heel TJP.
Yeah, okay.
A bit more.
He sees it as working for him.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then we had our main event, which was Akira Tozawa nursing that injured shoulder, and Arya Daivari. This was really fantastic. It started out with a Daivari promo where he was once again espousing the Iranian wrestlers. Or there was one in particular, I forget his name. I always forget his name.
Yeah, from the 50s, an Olympic gold medalist.
Right, exactly. And he said that he won. Didn't he win like a gold medal or something for beating a Japanese wrestler? And so there was obvious parallels there with him in Akira Tozawa. But anyway, the match kicked off, and obviously the story here was Daivari taking advantage of Akira Tozawa's bum shoulder.
Yeah.
So he's working that a lot too. You know, fantastic. This is a fantastic match.
Yeah.
Because Tozawa was really, really doing a hell of a job selling that shoulder.
Yeah, he was. And the commentary team made a point of saying that Titus wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no one there to stop the match.
Right, right, right. Daivari hit a frog splash. Tozawa kicked out. Daivari was doing a good job selling Tozawa's grit.
Yes.
I thought he was doing a really good job. Daivari goes for the pin. Tozawa reverses into a roll-up. Grabs the tights! He cheated to win! This was good, man.
Yep.
This was really good. He cheated to win. And the commentary team, you know, sold that too. They were like, he has to want, like,
he had to take that extra step because his shoulder's compromised in the match.
So this whole, again, no title involved here, you know, but Daivari questioning Tozawa's honor, and Daivari, you know, attacked Tozawa after that.
Yeah.
But Daivari, the heel, questioning Tozawa's honor, and you know, Tozawa falling prey to that, you know, he's sort of using nefarious means to win.
Yeah.
What's interesting is
we had a really good, entertaining episode of 205 Live. No Neville.
And with no Neville?
No Neville.
Yeah. Didn't need him.
Nope.
Yeah. But, again, 205 Live building these really, really good stories. Don't have to not. Nobody's worrying about the title necessarily. Nobody's worrying about contendership. These are all just character-based stories that are really, really resonating.
Is 205 Live right now is the, in terms of character, the best-written show in all WWE? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. Especially after this week's episode.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they can spin their wheels sometimes, but by and large, the character writing has been really, really good.
I feel like for the most part, when they spin their wheels, it's on Raw.
Yeah, I know. They don't really they don't develop a lot on Raw. They always tease on Raw. Yeah, well, on 205 Live, we're gonna do this, and I'm always like, oh, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, they don't deal with that stuff on Raw, which is, you know, I mean, I don't, at this point, I mean, I get that they're on. I mean, their ratings are up a bit this week. They're up to number 8.
Yeah, in their top 10. Yeah.
They're in the top 10, so, you know, I hope that, you know, the quality continues. The crowd's been a bit more into it, but it does kill them. I mean, that's one thing, like, when they trot them out on Raw, when to spin their wheels, the crowd just is – that's when the crowd doesn't care about them, and then that kind of, I think, translates a little bit maybe to the live crowd
could.
On 205 Live. I don't know. I think it's – but I'm telling you, man, like – this could, you know, Corey Graves always says this is the most exciting hour of TV or of wrestling on TV, whatever.
Yeah.
It could totally be that if you put this in front of a different crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
205 Live would be amazing in front of a crowd. Like, I'm not saying Full Sail, but like that.
Yeah.
Again, we've had this conversation tons of times.
Million times.
We've discussed it ad nauseum.
Telling you, man, put it in front of a 400.
American Legion Hall in the city of California.
Exactly. Put in front of 400 people, and, dude, tell me that wouldn't be amazing. Next up, we had NXT.
Another great, great episode.
Just featured some really, really solid wrestling here.
Yeah.
Three of these matches in particular were really, really good. I didn't really pay attention to the No Way Jose match.
It was pretty short.
Yeah. I think I was in the kitchen making a sandwich.
The show kicked off with Ember Moon versus Ruby Riott, and this match was phenomenal.
I know.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, this was. I kind of like on any this. I kind of feel like they should have separated the number one contendership matches between shows because this should have been a main event.
This could have been a takeover match.
Yeah, I know. It was really, really good,
especially before they went to the first commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
It was fast paced.
Yeah,
they were countering each other's moves. phenomenal.
No, it was really, really good. And it's funny because, like, this came on right after I heard the Ryback thing where he was, like, running down, like, women's wrestling. And I'm like, dude, this match is literally 10 times better than any pile of trash match you have ever put on.
Oh, a million times better than any pile of trash match he ever put on.
So I'm like, dude, Ryback, maybe you should be shaking your ass. How about that? Shake your titties, asshole. Anyways, no, this was a great match. Ember Moon ended up going over. I do wonder, I how much of Ember Moon's momentum has just been killed by her injury, though? Because Ruby Riott went into this with, like, all the momentum.
Yeah.
And I just feel like she's had to kind of take a number behind Ember Moon, though I think she's sort of got the momentum. I don't really care either way. I mean, Ember Moon, I do think that the momentum has probably led, you know, if it's Triple H at the top, Michael Cole, whoever's at the top, led them to think, hey, you know, we're probably going to go in the direction of Asuka just going undefeated throughout NXT and then vacating the title. Whereas before this, off the Mania takeover, they were probably going in the direction of Ember Moon taking the title off her. Now I don't think it's
I agree with you. And there's always a possibility that whoever wins the Mae Young Classic, especially if it's, was it Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
If she wins, having her challenge Asuka for obviously not the SummerSlam weekend takeover, but the one after that.
Yeah.
Or Survivor Series.
I think, yeah, if that's, do you think she's a favorite to win the Mae Young Classic?
I think she's got to be.
Yeah, I think so too. And yeah, that would obviously be. I mean, if that's their best opportunity, because I don't even see, as much as I like Ruby Riott, I don't think any momentum she has or could have had at all would have been enough to warrant her to take the title off of Asuka.
No, I agree.
I don't think that. I think she's a very strong character, but a
great wrestler.
She really is.
She's fantastic.
But this is Asuka we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, Asuka is a once in a generation. And so I don't think anybody, but if it's anybody, I think what you just said is probably right. Kairi Sane, especially them hyping up that elbow drop. From what I understand, they're hyping it up quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
And they plan to do that. So to see that elbow drop be the thing that takes the title off of Asuka, that sounds like it could be right. I would prefer her simply vacate the title, but man, if they really want to establish a new massive star out of Kairi Sane, that's the way to do it right there. That's the way to do it.
It really is.
Let's see here. Ember Moon ended up going over a really fantastic match.
Yeah.
She ended up winning with the Eclipse, which, again, is one of my favorite finishers to watch in the business right now. These are stupid and entertaining.
They're so silly.
Because here's the thing. We mentioned this on our Going In Raw view this week for the WCW Clash of Champions 24. A, it's incredibly hard to be intimidating sitting down.
Yes.
I think there's one person, Brock Lesnar. When he's sitting down, he could be intimidating.
Yeah, probably.
Because he could do anything intimidating. But Cassius Ohno, in his Sears suit, A, and with those cheesy press hands sticking out from behind the camera.
Yeah, it looks like the catering area. There's all sorts of fold-up tables or folding tables set up.
That terrible, like, green shirt that he's wearing.
And it's not lit well.
It's not lit well at all.
So he's having, like, an impromptu press conference,
which is weird.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I'm willing to go along with it because it's an entertaining premise.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So he's answering some questions. Hideo Itami comes in.
You know, Cassius Ohno reminds me, because we were talking about movies yesterday on the pre-show. That's what we should call it. That's a good selling. We should call that the pre-show.
Okay.
Our banter before the podcast.
Okay, fine.
$5 a week, you get a pre-show. He reminds me of a character out of Mallrats for some reason. Now that we're talking about Mallrats yesterday, he kind of reminds me of a guy who could have been in Mallrats.
Yeah, I see that.
Anyways, he's sitting there talking to the press. And probably some performance center guys who are giving some mics. Like, one guy is holding, like, a mic with a ridiculous windscreen on it. And I'm like, why are you inside?
Why do you have a boom mic?
And Hideo Itami comes in looking like he's, like, it's on his supreme day off. Because he's wearing, like, some, I think they're, like, some gray sweatpants.
Yeah.
And then, like, just a white t-shirt. Like, before you come over, that's literally, I'm wearing sweat shorts. I got these for $10 at Old Navy as sweatpants, and then I cut them off at the knees for the summertime.
Yeah.
And I wear a white t-shirt. literally the same thing Tommy was wearing. He comes into catering and confronts Cassius Ohno because he has a match set up for him for next week's episode. Yeah. And he's like, is it true you set this match up? And I swear, I know this didn't happen, but Cassius Ohno leans back in his chair, and I swear it, in my head, it plays better if he does the thing where he's on two legs instead of four.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so like, he said, yeah, man, what did I tell you? I'm all about action. It's like watching two college roommates.
I know.
Pissed off about like a phone bill or something.
Yeah, I know.
And then Hideo Itami leaves and kicks the garbage can, which just echoes back when you and I were in college. We used to play WCW versus NWO World Tour, and you would kick my chair or Big Jim's chair when you would lose, or I'd get pissed off at you for farting next to my hamburger.
Yeah. Or you'd wake me up at 12:30 in the afternoon with ELO blasting from your stereo.
It's 12:30. You should wake up. I think I did that on purpose. Because I was like, why is he still in bed?
It's because I probably didn't go to sleep till 4 in the morning.
Or also, I had to tell Summer about it the other day. I was like, because she was like, her and T are kind of over-rooming together. And so I was like, you know, me and Big Jim used to room together. And it was the worst thing ever. But I also have a lot of fond memories from it. So that match is set up next week. We're going to get a day with Tommy versus Cassius.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Kind of surprising this wasn't a takeover thing, but man, they got some really good matches on just the weekly TV.
I know, especially ever since the last takeover.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the talent, and it's funny, it reflects too. Like, this is, I think this week it was the number 3 show. I think it was behind.
Well, the newsletter said it was Great Balls. It was the Angle
24, and then I think it was this. Yeah, I think it was NXT after that. Then we had the Street Profits, sort of more of a promo for their Snapchat, I think.
Yeah,
because it starts off with their Snapchat icon, and it's that one of the guys is like on top of they decide to get up on top of the NXT bus.
Yeah,
I think that's what's his name. What's their names now?
There's Angelo Dawkins.
Angelo Dawkins.
And, last name's Ford, right?
Yeah.
Montez Ford?
Montez Ford, yeah, okay. Thank you. Montez Ford gets up on top of the NXT bus, and Angelo won't get up there because he's evidently scared of heights. And it's ridiculous. I can't wait to see these guys sort of in the ring with
them. Oh, I know.
Because it should be a lot of fun. Next up we had... God, it's hard to pick out of the three matches that I really, really liked because that Damo match was...
Yeah, that was really good, too.
Great. But this match is probably my favorite match. Let me ask you this. So it was Oney Lorcan versus Danny Burch. Danny Burch, he was, of course, in the UK tournament. He's been on NXT for quite a bit now. Yeah.
He used to be in NXT years ago.
That's right,
or so.
That's right. Burch got busted open, as usually happens these days in these Oney Lorcan matches.
Yeah, he's...
My favorite Oney Lorcan
bit is
when he just starts slapping somebody in the face.
I know.
It's so great.
I was trying to pinpoint when Burch started bleeding out of his nose. Was it the slaps?
I don't know, but that wouldn't surprise me because those things were stiff
as hell. Stiff.
These guys were just working stiff on each other. There's just a couple of bastards working stiff on each other.
Yeah.
I love this. Oney Lorcan went over with a single leg crab. It was a fairly short match.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if they cut it short because Burch was bleeding.
That could be, but I mentioned this to you on before we started rolling. That cameraman was not shy to go up close on Burch, that bloody face. And they didn't cut away from it. And these things are post-produced, so they did that on purpose.
He wasn't, like, bleeding a ton.
It wasn't like a mask or anything. There was a lot of blood there.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
So they shake hands. Burch says, I want a rematch. Oney Lorcan agrees. Do you see this heading to tag team territory?
I would love that. I think that'd be a great idea.
How great would that be? These guys would be... the most organically over tag team there is.
Yeah, haven't put on another match like this longer.
Mm-hmm.
Give them 15 minutes.
It's like the diametrically opposite to like Heavy Machinery.
Yeah.
Heavy Machinery, they put two hosses together. They try to give them some catchphrases about like eating steaks or something. And to me, it doesn't work. To me, I'm just not on the Heavy Machinery thing. I think both guys are good. I like them both. It just doesn't work for me. A tag team like this is more up Steve's alley.
Yeah.
This would be fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
A couple of bastards slapping people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want that?
Both of them, especially Oney Lorcan, who's been on TV but hasn't really had an angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Give him something to do.
And you know what? Don't give them a tag team name.
No.
Just Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
Yes.
They're minimalists. That's what the that's what you got to do. Anyways, next up we had No Way Jose versus Cesar Banana.
Benoni.
Banana.
This match is pretty short. No Way Jose won with a punch.
I like it. I like that finishing punch that he has.
Yeah.
Because it looks pretty. It looks
like
it looks
pop,
good.
Pops him up.
It's a pop up punch.
Yeah,
him. It's good.
After the match, Andrade Cien Almas joined by Thea Trinidad.
Yeah.
Come out.
Yeah.
And Almas starts beating up Benoni.
Yeah.
And then while No Way Jose is at the top of the ramp, Almas says, "No way, come on down."
Yeah.
And as No Way Jose comes down to the ring, Almas rolls out.
Good. Good job. Original L.I.J. I wonder how the whole Thea Trinidad Austin Aries thing is working. I hope it's working out for them okay.
Yeah, I
know. Do you think she's the one who said, "Hey, you know, it'd be a good idea if you looked a lot like Pitbull. You should shave all your head. All that hair on your head, get rid of it, and you'll look like $1 million." And then he did that, and he's like, "Hey, hey, 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 hey. Yeah. Welcome to my house." Wasn't that Pitbull? No, that was somebody else.
That's Flo Rida.
That was the other WrestleMania guy. They always bring one of those guys in. Oh, man. Then we had our main event, which was a number one contendership match for the NXT title. Big Damo, a.k.a. Killian Dane versus Drew McIntyre. This was just two meaty men
beating the hell out of each other.
Beating the crap out of each other. And if Damo's gimmick is he can kick out of pretty much anything you give him, then I'm all on board. Because this was fantastic. And Drew McIntyre sold the living crap.
Oh, especially when Drew did the double underhook DDT, the future
the
shock.
The future shock.
And Damo kicked out at one.
Yeah. Kicked out at one.
Drew sold that marvelously.
Amazing. And then he hits the Claymore. Damo no-sold it.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And then he hits a second Claymore and actually got the win.
Yeah.
This was so much fun to watch, man. This was a really, really fun match to watch.
Yeah.
So, now we're going to answer your questions. We put up a question thread on the Patreon every single episode.
We read questions and then we answer them.
From a dollar up, you can ask us questions.
What's going on over there?
My shit gets all tangled up.
Oh my goodness.
We need like floating mics that just float.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Hamza Halal, what other network shows do you think Vince does not know about? So I think it was in the newsletter this week that Meltzer said that Vince didn't watch Talking Smack, but he get weekly reports about it.
Yeah. And then he saw the episode on 7-Eleven. He said it didn't work for him. Probably looked at the numbers and said, like, "You're fired." They better keep Table for Three.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can that cost to produce? It is people eating dinner at a restaurant. They set up a couple cameras. I could do that here.
But what shows does he not know about? Do you think he knows all the stuff they put in the vault?
Oh, like, do you think he knows that they have, like, old USWA?
Or, like, did he know that the last Battle of Atlanta is on there?
I thought that was just a myth. What else does he know about? I don't know, man. I'd be surprised.
Does he know 205 Live is on there?
I thought we were just going to have the Cruiserweights on Raw. They've got their own show. Anyway, the dark matches. Those are just really good dark matches. Oh, man, I don't know. Let's see here. No, I'm not doing that one. Nathan Raglan, what's the best insult you've heard from a wrestler? Well, Jim Cornette just compared Kenny Omega to Hitler, so. That's a pretty bad insult right there. Oh, man, what a mess. Wrestling is a chock full of weird characters, man.
That is true.
What's a good insult you've heard from a wrestler, though? I mean, if you really want to, you know, get down to, like, the worst insults, just watch Guerrillas of Destiny versus... who'd they fight during that the curse filled match? Was
it was Yano and Ishii, and then
Hanma and Makabe.
Yeah,
at Wrestle Kingdom.
Just for me, the best
vanity,
the best insult in all of wrestling is this. It's more of a taunt.
Yeah,
nothing beats Scott Hall doing.
Yeah, that is a good one. Let's see here.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster.
Fat bastard.
If you had to have a 205 live cruiserweight open challenge, who would you have face Neville? Keep in mind that Neville have to win this match.
Leo Rush.
Neville, have that, make Neville that has to win this match.
Yeah, make that his debut. Leo Rush.
Because you can still... Leo Rush can afford to eat a pin on his debut. Because he can wow the hell out of people.
Yeah.
And people will still be really excited.
They
to
could
see
tell
him
a story sort of like they did when it was Leo Rush versus Ricochet in PWG, that match.
Yeah,
saw.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those were, yeah, fantastic. Dom Hilberg, what will it take for NXT to really get behind and push Oney Lorcan? I say tag team with Danny Burch.
Yeah,
no tag
start.
Name.
That's a good start.
Yeah. Interesting question. CM Punk finds it insulting. Would it have a bigger positive impact on the wrestling industry if John Cena versus Tanahashi happened at a WrestleMania or a Wrestle Kingdom? I just realized that probably should have been a dirt sheet question because it's not really about 205 Live or NXT. But I answered it anyways. Bigger impact, bigger positive impact on the wrestling industry. Well, it'll get one of the biggest New Japan stars ever exposure in front of a WWE crowd, which might fuel them to look outside the WWE universe.
But also, you could say that Cena wrestling at Wrestle Kingdom is going
to
draw a lot more eyes.
That's true.
On
to,
New,
to
Japan
New Japan,
product.
Yeah. All right.
More subscribers for New Japan World.
All right. You win that one.
I do win that one. Michael Berry, what 205 live wrestler should hoss up and double their weight to 410? Neville.
Just all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah, 205 more pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
I want to see. Noam Dar hoss up. He has to hoss up a lot. What is he like? 160 right now?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, he'd just be fat bastard at that point. Oh, look at my titties.
The elite Norwegian. Hey, friendos, new patron here. Who do you think would fit best in NXT out of the Japanese-born wrestlers of New Japan? Also, who would not work on NXT?
He says, who would be trash on NXT? Loose Explosion would be trash on NXT. Who would fit best in NXT?
Takahashi.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'd say him or Kushida. But Takahashi. Man, I love that. He's freaking great. God, he's good. He's so good. Get him and Dragon Lee both on NXT. Let's see here. Damian R., with reports saying that Leo Rush is signed with WWE and will be on NXT at some point, what would you say his ceiling would be?
High.
Very, very, very high.
He's fantastic.
He is fantastic. I mean, he's really small, so I'm not sure. I would really love to fast forward to a point where the Cruiserweight Championship is the thing to get.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know.
Like, it right now it feels like it's a sub-belt where it should just be the best belt to get for a certain type of wrestler. Like, there should be a lot of prestige.
Agreed.
Behind being the Cruiserweight Champion, as opposed to us sitting here thinking, well, it'd be great if Neville went on and won the Intercontinental Championship.
No, I know, I know.
You know what I mean?
No, I know. And maybe having that belt on Neville for a year
mm-hmm.
would help in that regard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, but beyond that, it needs to be booked and treated like it can't be on the pre-show every Raw pay-per-view.
I know, exactly.
Like, build up, I mean, say, for example, there's maybe the feud for the Universal Championship down the line isn't that strong.
Yeah.
And you got a really awesome, hot feud. Have the Cruiserweight title main event of pay-per-view.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I mean, the way you've said this a million times before, and I'm coming around to it because of that. We've said that the Cruiserweight division spins its wheels on Raw.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't do that. But at the same time, you know, 205 Live has to be an attractive product. So, fuck, I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, my thing is this. You're putting on great matches. Let them do what they can do in front of a really, really hot crowd. That would make that division hot.
Yep.
You know, the perception would change about that division, and it wouldn't be about, and on top of that.
If you had this Daivari Tozawa match on Raw.
Yeah.
in front of that crowd
yeah.
to expose how good 205 mm-hmm. Live is
yeah.
to the Raw crowd,
yeah.
that would have done wonders.
Imagine if Raw opened up with the 2 out of 3 Falls match.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That could have done something big, too. Or had that at the top of the second hour or something yeah. like that.
Son of Power Lunch, Cornelius Xander McIntosh Power Lunch 3.
There's way too many words.
That's
there.
A long name. So say Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly don't drag it again.
Oh.
What would the ceiling for both be, respectively?
Lower than if they drag it again.
Yes, at least short term.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle O'Reilly is a former Ring of Honor champion.
Bobby Fish can really talk and he can really wrestle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think his, I would think that his ceiling's probably a bit higher. He comes off as more of a character.
Yes.
Whereas Bobby Fish, I think it might be.
You mean Kyle O'Reilly?
Kyle O'Reilly, I'm sorry. Kyle O'Reilly, it might be easy for him to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with Kyle O'Reilly's work.
I've only seen a handful of his matches and a handful of promos.
So, yeah, and that's the thing. I've never really seen him project character quite like Bobby Fish.
But seeing Bobby Fish, I mean, he not only comes off as a character, but he comes off as a very natural character
yeah.
and a very compelling one. So, I don't know. I would probably say... but on the other hand, Kyle O'Reilly has got that sort of MMA stiff thing going
on. So maybe he doesn't need to...
Yeah, maybe, you know. I don't know.
Be a strong personality.
Yeah. All very good questions.
Nemo, after Mustafa Ali's 360 off the turnbuckle to the floor, he was wondering, what is your favorite high-flying move? Nemo likes Ricochet's 630 splash. That's spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like five things Ricochet does.
Rick, talk about the guy who does neat things.
Oh,
Rick,
yeah.
Ricochet is one of them. What was the question
favorite
again?
High-flying move.
Oh, Trent's plancha onto nothing.
Wrestle Kingdom.
I love Trent. He's the yeah. best. Favorite high-flying move. Second rope pile driver.
There you go.
God. Oh, okay, that's, dude, that's got to be... Can we have a category for going in Raw move of the year?
Oh, yeah. Second rope pile driver.
Spot of the year.
Wow.
Can we make that move in the latest 2K? Can we go back and say... Hey, can you guys get a second rope top pile driver in your game?
Yes, please.
Just add that. I don't know who gets to do mocap for that. Drew Gulak. Apparently he can take a spike to the head.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Let's see here.
Doesn't Takahashi do like a top rope destroyer type move?
Yeah, I think so.
That's rough to watch, too.
Something like that, yeah. Oh, here we go. I like this. Lissandro Carranza. I'm sorry I'm no-selling a lot of your nicknames. I really am. I just want to get to the questions. Because of the quality of matches I've seen in the past year, I've come to the conclusion that 2 out of 3 falls is my favorite match stipulation. Interesting. Way back in the day, 2 out of 3 falls
that was
the
norm.
That was the norm for title matches. He says, what are some of your guys' favorite stipulations? Well, 2 out of 3 falls is up there.
I like Iron Man matches.
I like Iron Man matches because of the nature of like the counting down clock. In that same respect, I always like to beat the clock matches.
Oh yeah,
one match establishes the time, and then they have to beat that.
Yeah,
I always like that too.
Yeah, Alexander Corrente. Sanity is extremely well booked and produced. Obviously, we have seen other acts that were well done in NXT fail on the main roster for a number of reasons. Do you guys believe Sanity can carry over to a more mainstream audience? And which show needs them more?
What show needs them more? I feel like they might just get this feeling they might get lost in the shuffle on Raw. And so I want them to go to SmackDown, but at the same time, SmackDown already has.
Yeah, the depth on SmackDown is pretty abundant.
Like Sanity versus the Hardy Boys would be really cool to see. Yeah. That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah. Imagine if Eric Young's the one to break Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great. And they would work perfectly in pre-film shorts. One thing to keep in mind, though, with Sanity, with the exception of Damo, because I think some people really like Damo.
Yeah.
Be prepared for them to take a lot of losses.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the Bray Wyatt mold of all of our victories come in the form of our own moral victories. You know what I mean? Like, we'll prove a point. That's what we care about more than taking
They can prove a point. By losing. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're going to be.
Or they could spin losses in that respect.
Exactly, yeah. But there's such a strong group that, you know, you can't really get mad at that. Because the Wyatt family are always rad, you know, and regardless of how many losses they ate.
Yeah.
They're always cool. Let's see here. Oh, AJ's username. First time Patreon. Do you guys think To Dragon Again, To Redragon, will be in the Dusty Classic? Yes, I would absolutely bet that they're going to be in the Dusty Classic.
Yeah, they should. Connor Dunmore, what will take NXT to that next level? I think whenever they stop looking at it as NXT as a developmental territory,
okay,
and treat it as a third brand on par with Raw and SmackDown, like, say, for example, Bobby Roode signed NXT because he wants to be in NXT. That's where he wants to be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you. They need a star like that that's going to stay in NXT for the long term and is going to elevate the brand.
Well, let me ask this, though. How do they accomplish that without having the wide exposure of TV?
That's the issue, yes.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Secondly, at that point, do you then establish a fourth actual developmental brand?
I like
the developmental aspect.
No, I feel like you can kind of have your cake and eat it, too, with NXT. Add a second hour to the show. They already split off how they do live events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
There's a more developmental group that tours Florida exclusively, whereas the top of the card, mid-card guys and women tour the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep that structure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just introduce
maybe
developmental talents through NXT. You can still keep it that way.
If they want, I'll add to that. If they want to, because I understand one of the aspects of developmental. Okay, so for example, before Sonya Deville was Sonya Deville, she was whatever her name is. And they had her out on TV in a developmental aspect in order to understand the dynamics of working in front of TV. You all right there?
Yeah, I thought I had something in my water, but it was on the bottom of the jar.
You can still do that. Just put that on dark matches before the taping.
Mm-hmm. Or do the live event circuit in Florida. Work out the character there first.
Yeah, work out the character
and then,
there.
And then get bumped up to undercard matches on the national touring group.
Yeah.
And then once you have a good sense of your character, then debut on NXT.
You do the rename thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a way to do it.
Yes.
Let's
first
see
thing I do is add a second hour and have some top-of-the-card talents that aren't there as a prelude to a main roster debut.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be surprised at all if Bobby Roode said, I want to be the guy that takes NXT to the next level.
The madcap Mr. Lipkin, let's talk him down from the edge here. He says, the more I think about it, the sadder I get for Johnny Gargano. Tommaso Ciampa is injured, so Johnny is probably just going to tread water until he gets back. And after that feud, then what? He goes up to Maine? Johnny's over as a babyface, but Maine has no idea what to do with babyfaces. Plus, he's going to get put in the cruiserweight purgatory. If DIY had stayed together, they could have been a big success as a team. I actually agree with that.
Yeah,
however,
I do.
I'm not as bullish on Johnny Gargano's prospects as Mr. Lipkin is here. Because I think that, number one, he came out last week, dropped a promo, had new music. He debuted new music after the promo was done, thereby, sort of signifying
he's on his own.
He's on his own. This is what he's going to do. I think backstage really likes Johnny Gargano.
Yes.
And I think that he's going to have a decent singles run in NXT.
I do, too, especially once Ciampa comes back in about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Their feud is going to be intense.
Hot. It's going to be huge. At that point, he might move on to 205 Live.
Yeah.
I'd be totally fine with that because I think 205 Live has some of the best stuff going on right now. We just do want to see it in front of a hot crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Kimmel, what do you think about Charlotte saying she wants to be the one to beat Asuka?
It's just yet another reason why I love Charlotte so much. So, yeah. Those are all good questions.
Yes.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. Patrons, be sure to stick around because we're going to figure out what we're going to do for lunch. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.